Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Denny Long returns tomorrow morning here on News Talk, K3OWCCO. I'm Steve Thompson, pleased to be joined by Teresa Rooney, and it's been a while. We've done the show together before. I hope you're well, Teresa.
We have. I'm well, and I hope you're well, Steve.
Yes, very well indeed. And I noticed that the peonies are starting to peek up through the ground. I have some peonies I inherited when I bought this house, and they're starting to pop up.
Yep, things are starting to pop up, and that's something we need to talk about today because people need to stay off of their lawns and gardens if the soil is a little bit wet. Because if they go onto the soil, you know, to start cleaning up their garden or walk on their lawn, they're going to compress the soil, and that really impacts how the plants can grow. So I know we all want to be out there, and we're supposed to be out in nature to be healthy, but unless your lawn and garden is really nice and dry, the soil's nice and dry, then stay out of your lawns and gardens. But it's a great time to clean up and get things going and get excited to see all the new stuff coming up.
Now, should we be worried a little bit because we are going to get snow overnight? We do get cold weather for those peonies?
That's a really good question. You don't have to worry. The snow will probably melt, and plants are, say, smart enough not to come up until they're ready. If we do get a really heavy snow, which is fine because then it'll just insulate everything, or really cold, cold temperature, if any of those plants get frosted on the top, there's nothing to worry about. The leaves might look a little icky during the season, but the plant will be really healthy. Everything's fine. Nature knows what she's doing out there.
All right, so no worries on that front. No reason
Don't
to cover the daylilies, the peonies, et cetera.
Leave the peonies alone, yeah. Now, if you want, if you have tender roses and tender perennials that you've uncovered that they're out of their zone fives or sixes, you might want to toss your bags of leaves back over those or your leaves back over those just for a little bit longer till the nights are usually above 40. But other than that, things will be just fine.
We always get a lot of calls and texts on the program, and the phone number 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. You can call or text. We've already had some texts come in.
Great.
And by the way, we'll talk to Dennis Matuzak in the studio today when you call in. 651-989-9226 is that phone number and our text line as well. And I don't know, Therese, if you want to jump right into it, but speaking of this, is it too early to start uncovering my asparagus plants?
No, they should be okay. I think you can start uncovering stuff. Maybe wait till next weekend since we're going to have icky rain and snow this weekend. You know, just take your walks instead in your rain suits and everything else, but leave the gardening till next weekend or once it starts warming up just a titch.
And what about garlic?
The garlic, you know, you can uncover it if you want to be out in your garden when it's raining and wet. You really don't need to be out there when it's raining and wet, though, because you don't want to. That's a good thing to remember all year long. If it's raining, don't be in the garden. And if the plants are wet, don't be in the garden because you can move fungal diseases around. It's probably not the time of year for that to happen, but if it was the middle of summer and we had just gotten a rainstorm, you wouldn't want to be out in your garden because you don't want to be touching those wet plants and moving fungal diseases around.
Is it a good time to prune maple trees? That coming from Rick in St. Paul.
Yep, it's a good time to, you can start pruning your shrubs, your roses, your spirea, if the bunnies haven't done that already for you, if you need to prune your maple trees. It's not a good time to be pruning any of those trees that are susceptible to diseases or insect damage, like oaks, elms, ashes, any of your fruit trees. They're all susceptible to either fungal diseases or insect diseases, so you don't want to be pruning any of those at this time. And again, If you have questions about when to prune stuff, go to extension.umn.edu and go to the garden tab, and you'll find all the great information on there, exactly when to prune things.
When Julie was in a week ago, we brought up getting seed started, and we have been perusing here at home, extension.umn.edu, about starting seeds. There's a lot of great guidance there on that.
Yep, Mary Myers, I think Professor Mary Myers did a great article on that, because we were asking, or people were asking, what's the seed starting time frame? And now is a great time to be starting your seeds. You know, you can probably go to the garden centers to pick things to shop, but a lot of the garden centers may be able to select the seeds, and then you pay for them in advance, and they just give you your order when you come there. So don't just go, because we're all supposed to be sheltering in place, so don't just go out and buy stuff, but go call them, go online, see what the protocol is for every store, and then if you have to go out and get your seeds or order them online, there's a lot of great catalogs online too, and get your seeds going or your plants, whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, and that is an outstanding project while we're in stay-at-home mode. Quick break. Much more with Therese Haruni coming up on our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. You can call or text 651-989-9226 here on News Talk 830-WCCO. 817, 45 degrees in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. We'll have another update on the weather here at about 8:30. But this show is all about your calls and text. Therese Haruni joining us, Hennepin County Master Gardener, good enough to join us on the program today. 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226, and you can call or text the program, and we have a lot of texts lined up, and a call. Dorothy in Minneapolis, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. I'm wondering, is it too late to prune apple trees? I didn't get my tree done yet this year.
It really is. If there's something you have to prune, you can, like one or two big cuts that you have to make, go ahead and get some pruning sealer. Make the cut, sterilize your pruner, make the cut, cover the cut immediately, and then sterilize your pruner, and then make your second cut. So each cut you make, you know, the final cut that you make, you have to pruner sealer, and then do sterilize your pruner between cuts.
Okay. What about, when should it have been done? Like more, like towards the middle of the month?
Right. You want to think about, you don't want, if there's insects flying around, you don't want to do it. There's a fungal disease called fire blight that can really impact fruit trees. And so when the insects are warm, if they're warm enough to fly around, the fungal spores could be warm enough too. So you just don't want to do it then. So February, March would be a great time to prune your apple trees, your fruit trees.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
All right, very good. Therese, so when you talk about sanitizing a pruner or pruning equipment, is soap and water good enough? Tell us more.
That's a really good question. What you'd want to use is probably a 10% bleach solution, so one part bleach to nine parts water. And then when you're all done with your pruning and you're done with all your sterilizing, I'd probably go back in with a nice pruning oil, oil for machines, and just lubricate everything up again, because bleach is really hard on tools. Or give them a really good rinse and dry them really well to get all that bleach finally off of everything once you're finished with your project, just so that your tool can be as healthy as it can be too.
Yeah, and I would assume that's good practice year-round when you're pruning anything, that you want to make sure it's clean before you go to your next project.
You do, and if you do, say you're pruning your tomatoes because they have a disease, okay, and you're pruning them, you want to think then after you're done pruning that one plant, that then you do go back in and sterilize that pruner, because you're going to use it on, you know, beans or something else the next time. And lots of those diseases don't transmit, but why take the chance?
Therese Haruni joining us on our Smart Garden Show, and it comes your way Saturday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. The phone number is 651-989-989. 9226651989922. Let's go to the text line. We have a ton of those lined up already on the program.
Oh, it's wonderful. Just
extraordinary, and it's great to see. I planted some rhubarb last spring, and I planted it a little too deep. It's down in the hole right now. At some point, can I dig that up and raise the plant, if you will, so it's a little bit closer to the surface where it needs to be?
I'd do it immediately. It's just like you're transplanting your rhubarb. Rhubarb is transplantable in the spring. So as soon as you can dig into the soil, I'd go ahead and lift the plant. If you can add some compost in, that's even more wonderful. And then just make sure not to fertilize that plant until it's growing really well, say in June or July. You just want, because it's just like you're transplanting it again. So you're breaking the roots, and it has to start all those new feeder roots all over again. So you want to bring it up because you don't want it sitting in a hole because then it could get rotted. So, yep, that's a really good idea. Rhubarb, you don't want to plant low. Good idea.
What about things like hostas? Is that something that can be dug up and moved or split in the spring?
Yep, hostas, moving your hostas first thing in the spring is really the easiest and best time. And I say it's easiest and best is because you're not working with big leaves, and you can divide them and move them. Make sure to plant those guys a little bit high, too, because they can get crown rot easily also. And then once they start growing, you know, you can divide them anytime. You could divide them in August if you want. But then you damage a lot of the leaves, and they look really bad for the rest of the season. But if you do it before all the leaves are up, they look great in the season. It won't even look like you moved them.
All right. When you divide, do you split in a half, thirds? What do you recommend?
For hostas, just divide them into a nice little clump. It's, you know, however big of a hosta plant you want. You could literally do each little tiny growing point if you wanted, but that would give you really tiny plants for a long time. So just, you know, however big you want to divide them, however many plants you need out of that. Remember, they're going to grow. So if you can be patient, you can have big plants this year as you divided them. Wait 2 or 3 years, divide them again, and you can have big plants again rather than a whole bunch of little plants for a number of years. So you can divide them however you want to.
651-989-9226 is our phone number and our text line as well. Keep that number handy for all our programs here on News Talk 830-WCCO on Skin, 651-989-9226. To the phone lines again, let's go to Grace in St. James. Grace, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning. I have a flowering crab tree that's probably 10 to 15 years old, and the first couple of years it bloomed well, and since then it has never bloomed. Do you know what's going on with that?
Okay, I would look first of all to see how much light it's getting.
It's way out in the middle of the yard. Yeah.
That's really strange because it should be blooming. Lots of times, depending on where you live, the blooms come out, and if they get frosted out, if we get a late frost, if it's in like a little hollow, sometimes the blooms can get frosted off. But if it has bloomed, it should still be healthy enough to bloom if it's getting full sun and if it hasn't died back and the rootstock has taken over. So if you know you still have the real crabapple that you planted, you should be able to be seeing blossoms. So what you can do is you could give it a light fertilizer this year, and just that's about all it could suggest. And also, if you want to contact an arborist and have them look at the tree in situation, they might be able to see something that I'm not thinking of. But if it's in full sun, it's still the same plant. It should be blooming if the frost is not killing the blooms, if it's frost hardy and you don't get a late frost.
Right, very good. It is our Smart Garden Show, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226 is our phone number and our text number as well. And once again, we have a lot of great texts. From our text line, Teresa, I have a climbing rose next to the house. It's about 12 feet tall. I have to move it. When and how do I go about doing that?
Whoa, you have a challenge on your hands there. First of all, what I would do is probably cut back the canes a little bit. It'll be a little bit easier for you to move. You won't have so much. Carefully tie up the canes that you have, just so that they don't go flopping all over. Then go ahead and dig up the root ball, as big of a root ball as you can. You can do this right now or as soon as you can get into the soil, work the soil, and then move it to where it's supposed to be. Add a lot of compost into the soil. Again, then just plant it at the same depth, or if you have a heavy clay soil, a little bit higher. Put the canes against whatever structure they're going to be climbing on. You may want to tie them a little bit, just gently, so that as they start to grow. And then just give it a good drink of water and treat it like a brand new plant for the first 1 or 2 years, because it is just resetting. But if you can get a nice big root ball, go ahead and move it now. And just understand it's going to take a year or two for it to come back to that 12-foot high. But you have a challenge, and wear leather gloves, I would say. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, good leather gloves, the heavy duty for sure.
Leather gloves, armor, like, you know, plate armor on your body, everything. Those things have a lot of thorns on them. But good luck there.
Yeah, that is a big project. Here's a good one. Speaking of some thorns, what is the best way to remove raspberry shoots?
To remove raspberry shoots, if they're in your grass, you can just mow them down. Otherwise, if you just, you can cut them at the soil level, but they're just going to sprout out again. So what you have to do is separate those shoots from the mother plant. So just take your spade and just do a sharp cut right next to that little shoot. I'm thinking that's what they mean, is the shoots on the ground. And just go ahead and cut that shoot out and then toss it in the waste or the compost bin.
Yeah, and raspberries are really hardy. I have some wild raspberries along the riverbank, and keeping those back and manageable is a big job. When they're happy, they grow like
when
crazy.
They do. They create thickets, and it's really great for birds and little critters to nest and hide in there. It makes it hard for us to keep our yards managed, but they sucker freely. There are some raspberries now that are less suckering, that sucker less, so you can look on the market for those. But, yeah, raspberries are a plant that are going to sucker. They want to move, and that's what they do.
All right, quick break. We have more on our Smart Garden Show. Teresa Rooney, Hennepin County Master Gardener, good enough to join us on the program. And if you'd like to visit with her, by all means, call the program 651-989-9226 or text 651-989-9226. It is our Smart Garden Show on the air Saturday mornings between 8 and 9 a.m. Teresa Rooney, Hennepin County Master Gardener, good enough to join us. And the phone number again, 651-989-9226. If you want to visit with Teresa, let's go to the phones right now. Mary in Minneapolis, you're on the air.
Hi, I have two questions. I turned this off. One is, I have a lot of moss in my yard. What do I do to get rid of it?
Oh, I would love to have moss in my yard. Have you ever seen some of the moss gardens? They're absolutely beautiful. But you're calling because you don't want moss. Okay, so moss likes soils with low fertility, damp soils, shadier areas. So you need to change some of those conditions or the moss will keep coming back. So you want to open up for more sunshine. Try to get it a little brighter light, more air circulation so it dries out a little better. And then you need to up the fertility by adding a little bit of compost.
Compost. Okay, so I need to dig up the ground a little bit. And
You know, you can just skim the moss off if you want. Unless you really hate moss, moss gardens are absolutely beautiful, and sometimes it's just easier to work with what you've got. If you have still a shady area that has a higher fertility and not a lot of and a lot of moisture, you may still get moss again. So you need to change those conditions, otherwise the moss will just come back.
Okay. I was out and I was had an easies and I was picking it out pulling it out basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that come? I suppose that comes back if the spores are still there in the soil.
The spores will be there, and if the conditions are the same, the plants will come back. It's the same if you have Creeping Charlie and you get rid of it. If you haven't changed the conditions, Creeping Charlie will come back.
Okay, great. Then the other thing is I have a hibiscus here that a piece broke off and I put it in some water and it now has roots. Mm-hmm. So do hibiscus like just regular potting soil?
Yep, just regular potting soil. Keep it really moist. When you start little sticks or starts in water, you want to, as soon as you start seeing roots, you want to get those roots into the soil. If you wait really long, those are water roots, and they collapse going into the soil because they're used to water. So try to get them into the soil as quickly as possible and keep the soil fairly damp so that those roots then are nice and happy and grow into regular roots then. And good luck. That sounds like fun.
All right, Mary, outstanding call, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. I have some moss in the landscape on the north side of my house. I kind of like it.
You know,
I think it's a neat feature.
It's absolutely beautiful. And anyone who has moss, I would just suggest that you go online and Google moss gardens, and you will be amazed at the beauty you see. And it's just, it's a different aesthetic, but it's so beautiful and peaceful and calm. And sometimes it's easier just to work with what you've got and let it go and grow your roses or grow your lawn in another area of your yard.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones again. Judy in St. Paul. Judy, you're on the air.
Hi, Judy.
Well, hi, Teresa. I have purchased a flowering wigalia bush several years ago, and I planted it, and it was supposed to grow to like 4 to 6 feet, and it never got higher than 15 inches. And
okay.
I thought, well, maybe it was because it was too shady.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved it to a very sunny spot, and it's been there for a couple of years, but it's still 15 inches tall.
Okay. Does it bloom nicely for you?
No, it's never bloomed.
It's never bloomed. Okay, so do you know the name of it?
No, I don't remember.
Okay. If you can find out the name of it, you want to make sure, first of all, it could be that it was mismarked. Instead of getting 4 to 6 feet tall, that it was one of the tinier series that stays short. You also want to make sure that it was hardy for Minnesota. Lots of times the buds might not be hardy for Minnesota. Now, wigalia blooms on new wood, so it should bloom on the new wood for you that comes up every year. Just make sure it has some extra compost. It does like a little more sun, and I would see if you can find out the name of it, if you can find, you know, a tag or something, and then go onto the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and go into the garden area and see if they list that one as hardy for Minnesota, or see what the web says if it's hardy for Minnesota. Those would be my only suggestions, because that's kind of strange that it's not. Or go back to where you bought it and say, why isn't it blooming yet? If you can do that. Good luck.
Thanks, Judy. Have a great day. It is our Smart Garden Show. Teresa Rooney joining us on the program today, Hennepin County Master Gardener. And our phone number is 651-989-9226. You can text, same number, 651-989-9226. From our text line, is it okay to plant beet seeds? Will they start, and will you get beets?
Beets, yes, beets are a really fun seed. That's BEETS, and if you grow them in the shade, you probably won't get the beet root. You'll just get the beet greens, which are absolutely beautiful. Makes a wonderful container plant too. And the cool thing about beets is you'll have these little hard nubbins of seeds, but really there's four seeds in that seed. So when it comes up, you're going to have to do a little bit of thinning, because three or four plants will come up in that one area, and you want to thin them. If you can imagine how big a beetroot's going to be, that's how far apart you want your plants if you're growing them for beetroots. And if you want to, you can soak the seeds overnight, and that will help them grow, germinate a little bit faster. But beets are wonderful, and they are one of those plants you can you know, put in a container, or they can grow in a little bit of shade. You won't get big beets, but you'll get great beetroot leaves, and they're absolutely beautiful. And they taste great, and they're really healthy for you.
Oh, yeah. Very, very good for you. Do you have experience with winterberry shrubs in the metro area?
Yes, I actually, winterberries are great. You need a male and a bunch of females, or one male and one female. So Jim Dandy would be your male. And then the winterberry, then you get the females. The females will grow the berries, and the birds will love those. They can be a great foundation plant. They do get like 5-6 feet tall or taller, and they do sucker, so they can get nice and big for you. But they're an absolutely beautiful plant. And if I remember right, they're related to hollies, or they're in that family. I could be wrong about that, but I think they are. That's our holly, is winterberry. So they don't have anything like holly leaves, but they're beautiful berries, and the birds love them. Great for bringing in wildlife.
And is it one of those things that will grow in a more shaded area?
You know, it can take a little bit. It really would prefer full sun. Lots of your plants, you know, if you grow them in the shade, they just won't be as big. They may not flower as well. They may not bear fruit as well for you. You can always try them, but the more sun you can give these plants, the better.
To the phone lines we go here on our Smart Garden Show with Teresa Rooney today. We're on the air Saturday, of course, between 8 and 9 a.m. Let's go to Glenn in Hutchinson. Glenn, you're on the air.
Hi, Glenn.
Hello. I burn wood, and the ashes I take out of the wood stove, I'll pile them up, and I have just a little ash pile. And here, after about a summer or a season, I'll call it, that ash pile will be all green with moss. And you were talking about moss. I thought to myself, what seeds moss, or how does moss originate? I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Great.
Yeah, moss is one of those, and it has like little spores. I believe that's how it grows, like little spores. So it's kind of a cool little interesting sort of a plant. And if you do have ash, remember ash can raise the pH really high. And you can see that if the moss is growing on his ashes, that's a really low fertility. So you don't want to add high pHs to your soils. Most of our soils are really high pH already. So if you have ashes, don't just throw them in your garden, because we don't need to add that. But yeah, mosses are quite interesting.
But it doesn't surprise you that the moss have taken to that ash, if you will.
No, because there could be other things that are falling on top of the ash in the meantime.
Oh, sure.
Just dust from the air and other things that are making it. Maybe there's a barrier there, or for, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. She fills things up. And if there's a place for something to grow, something will find that place and it will grow. It's just really amazing. So it doesn't surprise me, but it's an interesting thing. Yeah, that's fun.
From our text line, here's a good one. We talk some pruning and what trees are okay to prune and what trees you should stay away from. Can you prune lilacs at this time of year?
Okay. You can. There's no laws against it. However, you probably don't want to. What you will be doing is pruning off all of the flowers, because lilacs set their flower buds last year. Just like any of the spring blooming plants, azaleas, rhododendrons, mock oranges, lilacs, and magnolias, as soon as they're done blooming last year, within 3 weeks they have their flower buds set for this year. So any pruning you do after that time, you cut off flowers. Now, that being said, if you don't care about the flowers, you can go ahead and prune your lilacs, because, you know, sometimes you have to do this, or you do a minimal pruning. So there's no laws against it. It probably won't impact the health of the plant. It'll just impact how many beautiful flowers you get or don't get this year.
Quick break. We have more on our Smart Garden Show coming up in a moment. Teresa Rooney is in, Hennepin County Master Gardener. The phone number again, 651-989-9226. You can use that to call or text the program. We're on the air through 9 o'clock. Teresa Rooney joining us, Hennepin County Master Gardener. And let's go to the phone lines. Dick in Roseville, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Teresa. I have a question. My front yard is totally free of Creeping Charlie. My backyard has sections of Creeping Charlie that's invading it. What would be wrong with leaving the whole backyard just be invaded and have a Creeping Charlie? Could you do that?
You certainly could. There's nothing wrong with doing that. What I would suggest is that around the edge of your yard,
yes,
maybe you have a mowing strip or something like that so you can make sure it's not creeping into your neighbor's yard.
Yes.
And if you want to, as it finishes blooming, maybe give it one mowing so then it's not creating a lot of seeds that can go off into your neighbor's yard either. And other than that, it's absolutely fine. That way you're being responsible, unless your neighbors don't care. If they're into let it spread. But by keeping a little mowing strip between, you can make sure it's not creeping into your neighbor's yard, and then doing the very judicious one-time mowing, getting rid of most of the seed heads, then you're just keeping it on your property, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And it makes a great ground cover, and it's very easy care.
Yeah, Creeping Charlie, that comes up year-round. People fight that battle a long time. I have some, but I pluck it out. I just kind of manage it. I don't get too worked up about it because it's inevitable, really.
You know, it's just, if it comes into your yard, it's there for a reason. It's trying to tell you maybe that there's too much shade or whatever, or there's empty spaces for it to grow, and it's out competing other plants. And, you know, you can battle it. You can let it be where it's going to be. It's totally up to you. It just is what it is.
Kathy in Coon Rapids, you're on our Smart Garden Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy.
Hello. I'm going back to your discussion about the wild raspberry vines.
Yes.
Is there a spray that I could spray on them that would kill them? Or do I still have to chop them out, and could I spray them with Roundup or something? Would that help keep them away?
So if you spray suckers of a plant with something like Roundup, that is absorbed into the entire plant system and could kill the entire plant system.
Oh, that would be fun.
Okay, so if you're looking to eradicate them totally, Weed Be Gone or Roundup is perfectly acceptable to use. That will kill Roundup, and glyphosates kill all plants, green plants. The Weed Be Gones would just kill your broadleaf plants. So if you have a bunch of raspberries coming up in your lawn and you want to kill the entire plant, all the way back to the mother plant, you can go ahead and use your Weed Be Gones, which and things like that. And again, read the instructions. Lots of them you can't use over tree roots, so you have to read the instructions and follow them. But that is something you can do. And if you want to do a spray, let it kill back what it is, cut down everything, and then do spot sprays on whatever comes back up again. Because a lot of times you'll find that there's a lot of energy in the roots, and they're able to send up new sprouts again. But if you keep attacking those new sprouts, cutting them off or spraying them, eventually you can get ahead of the situation. And that's for any invasive vine or weed that you happen to have in your yard. But again, read the instructions, understand them, and follow them to the letter. Good luck.
It is our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. From our text line, this is a good one. Is it too early to start treating my lawn, like the first application of fertilizer for this season?
That's a really good question. You want to make sure that your lawn, that the soil is dry, that it is not frozen. You don't want to put anything on frozen soil. If you do put it on frozen soil when you get a rain or a spring thaw, all that what you put on there will go away, will be washed into your water systems, watershed. You don't want that. If it's actively growing, you can, of course, fertilize it. Usually you don't want to put down your pre-emergence, that's for your crabgrass and your annual weeds, until the soil is warmed up to about 60 degrees. And that's normally when the lilacs are blooming in your yard, so that'll give you a good indication, or get a soil thermometer. That's usually about the first, second, third week of May, depending upon where you are in the cities. So that's kind of your lawn care routine if you really have to. You know, if you want to and you don't want to put down, say, a man-made chemical, you can always just top dress with a little compost. That works into the soil and really helps the whole soil structure. And this is just something you can also do if you are a coffee drinker. Just take the grounds and toss them gently out into the soil like you're feeding chickens so they get spread way far away. That will add a little organic matter to your soil. It doesn't acidify your soil or anything like that. It's a great way to reuse your coffee grounds if you're not putting them in your compost bin. But compost is always something you can gently top dress, lightly top dress onto your soil at any time for your as long as it's not frozen.
So that's Saruni joining us.
And always go to the extension.umn.edu and find out the lawn care situation for your own situation.
Therese Saruni joining us here on our Smart Garden Show on News Talk 830-WCCO. 45 degrees, cloudy, breezy, rain on the way into the Twin Cities. It's already raining west of the Twin Cities area, and that'll change to snow overnight. We'll have more on that coming up following the news. I couldn't get all the leaves cleaned up last fall. This is from the text line, and I'm in that same boat. Is it okay to gently rake them up now, or is it way too early? We talked about that earlier in the program. It's pretty wet.
Yep, you're right. If it's wet, don't do any raking. You pull out all the little grass seedlings that are trying to come up. Wait till the soil dries out, and then you can gently rake them up if you want to. Mm-hmm. And that happens to everybody all the time, so don't feel bad.
From our text line, I have a 10-year-old choke cherry tree. And it has gall in about 70% of the branches. I hope I got that right. I hope I pronounced it correctly. Should it be removed?
You did, and it probably has, I'm guessing it probably doesn't have galls. It probably has black knot, and you can, and that's, so it's a, like the color black, and then K-N-O-T, that's the disease that it probably has. I would definitely go online because you can prune it out, but if it's over 70% of the plant, that's an awful lot to prune out. And so if you want to try to save the plant, you can do that. Again, it'll be pruning and sterilizing and pruning and sterilizing. You won't have to do any of the sealing of the, you probably should do the sealing of the branches if you're dealing with black knot. But I would definitely go to the extension website and find out how to deal with black knot on your cherries, on your choke cherry, the prunes. Yeah.
Yeah. And before we run out of time, and we're coming up rapidly on the end of the program, we should talk about the great website, extension.umn.edu. There are so many resources and so much information there.
There really is a lot of things on there. And as we all know, Nature Heals, and that's one of our Master Gardener programs, Nature Heals. And you can go on there, and just looking at the nature will be helpful. But during this time, if you possibly can, get outside safely, enjoy nature, get some fresh air, be in your gardens, be in your lawns, keep a safe social distance. Go to the website, extension.umn.edu. There's even a tab you can click on to ask Master Gardeners questions. So you can even get your Master Gardener questions answered even during this time. We're here for you.
Here's a good quick one. We've only got about 30 seconds. Is it okay to cut back hydrangeas at this time of year? If so, how far do I go?
Depends on the hydrangea. Annabelle's, you can go ahead and cut those back all the way, or 6 or 7 inches. It depends on whether your hydrangea blooms on new or old wood. You have to know that before you cut it back.
Well, Teresa, the hour's gone so quickly. A lot of calls. Tons of texts on the program. It's always great to visit with you. I always learn a lot.
And I learn a lot from our listeners. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe and well.
All right. There she is, Therese Saruni, and it is our Smart Garden Show each and every Saturday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. on that website, extension.umn.edu. So much to learn there, and so much to learn each and every week, whether it's Teresa or Julie a week ago, and, of course, Mary Meyer as well.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.